message all of its own, really. Dream of Me, Christina Train. Okay, today, very important, a release of information relating to comedy. In fact, Ticketmaster actually released the findings of their state of play in Britain as far as comedy is actually concerned. Whom do you think Britain's most popular comedian happens to be then? Emma.
Tough question. I love anything comedy because I always think having a bit of a laugh is a bit of fun.
Well, exactly. If you can't have a laugh, what is
I can't speak for the entire nation, of course. However, I think one of my favourites would probably be Jack D, although he hasn't done anything in a
while.
Comes
in at number nine, actually.
Oh, really?
Comes in at number nine.
Well, I just think he's really funny, and I think he slightly reminds me of my dad in the fact that he's a very miserable man.
No.
But it makes me giggle.
How can any parent who has your good self, Emma, as a daughter, have any kind of, misery?
I really hope he's not listening.
a shaft of sunshine into an otherwise grey Surrey day.
Of course.
Okay, and your thoughts?
There's so many comedians out there.
And many of them actually like to think they're comedians, and they're not funny
at
all.
Yeah, they're not that funny.
Exactly, no names, but...
Ricky Gervais. Sorry. I quite like Lee Evans, even though he does swear quite a bit. But
who is number one on that list?
I think you have struck a bone there.
Who is actually
Lee
number
Evans
one?
Lee Evans is number
really?
One.
Really? Yeah. Right.
Straight in there. No messy about whatsoever.
I just love his energy on stage. He has just got such a great stage presence.
It's just quite frankly wonderful.
That's funny there, Michael McIntyre being number two. He's similar to Lee Evans, one to run about.
Peter Kay in at three, John Bishop at four, Jimmy Carr at five. And yet, in terms of various other bits and pieces, there's another factor which we go on to talk about in a few moments about what really tees people off when they're actually in the audience. And apparently, comedy attendees quite conservative. Only one in five now think it's okay to heckle, and only 3% actually heckle the comedians regularly. Checking phones only seen as acceptable by 9%, even though almost a third actually admits to checking their phones during the actual event itself. Probably taking selfies as well. Whispering is apparently not acceptable. Laughing really loud, eating, and leaving in the middle of the performance also defined as not effective. And tweeting or using social media, 13% of people actually think that's acceptable. Over 80% think actually tweeting and using social media at a comedy event is not acceptable. Well, have a laugh. not good at all. Okay, moving on. Shabby Corsandi and Bruce Dassault. Comedy Day. Let's talk about something we prepared earlier. Comedy. It used to be referred to as the new rock and roll. It's got even bigger than that. And a recent survey that's released today focuses on some of the fascinating world of the state of play in terms of comedy produced by Ticketmaster. Now, moving on to address some of those key things, we have two genuine legends. First of all, it's the return of the ace comedy critic, Bruce Dassault. Good morning, Bruce.
Oh, good morning, thank you.
And the equally legendary, indeed phenomenally wonderful soul, and I just cannot believe she's not in the top five. It is the legendary comedian extraordinaire. That would be Shappy Corsandi. How are you, Shappy?
My head's so big now. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
I've seen you live at the Apollo, Shappy. It's a tour de force of comedic genius. So excellent stuff
Bruce,
there.
That's the quote I need.
I took the words out of my mouth. Yeah.
The fascinating thing, Shabby, if we can come to you first, in terms of this whole sequence, there's a wonderful piece that you actually do about how you were up for the role of a nanny, I think, in a sitcom, etc. And then, of course, we have the Iran-Iraq war breaking out and all sorts of other bits and pieces.
Iran-Iraq war?
Well,
I was far too small to be doing stand-up.
You're quite right.
There was some war with Iraq. Perpetual war. Precisely.
Let's not go there. We'll leave that for question time. In terms of your own experiences, stepping into that sort of a routine of becoming a comedian, going on stage, etc. I mean, obviously, female comedians are becoming much more popular, but at the same time, they've always been around. I mean, Joan Rivers obviously sadly passed away a few months ago. From your own perspective, was it always a career option, or did you secretly actually want to be that doctor?
Oh, I always wanted to be a comic, always, but it was as realistic as saying I want to be an astronaut. So it was this weird little secret I had for a long time. So I always... When I was seven, I used to do Margaret Thatcher impressions and make grown-ups laugh. And it's addictive and it's compulsive, the feeling of making people laugh. It feels it feels great and you're always chasing after that feeling again, and sometimes it goes horribly wrong, but the times that it's good, it's very good, so that makes you get back on the horse. So there's been nothing else that I felt as passionate about. Perhaps journalism. I think if I wasn't a comic, I'd be a journalist.
Well, I suppose the two things could be combined. Bruce, from your own perspective, I mean, clearly you have that wonderful job of effectively sort of, okay, make me laugh.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, it works. If it does, it's great. What are your thoughts on this particular survey and some of the findings that we've got in it?
Well, it is, it sounds for a moment like Shappy's after my job, saying she wants to be a journalist.
No. So I have to, she could do it much better than you, Bruce. You know, that's the bottom line. But we just
if
we'll
someone cut my tongue out, it's not out of choice.
Well, funnily enough, actually, one of the things in the survey was that I was surprised to read that 17% of people that go to gigs actually write reviews. That was quite an unusual thing. That obviously everyone does think they're a critic these days, and what with social media, Twitter and Facebook, everyone comes out of a gig and says what they think of it. But I guess the big thing about the survey is the rise of female comedians and the amount of tickets they're selling. I'll have to read this figure because I almost can't believe it, that the rise in sales of tickets for female shows has gone up 1,064% since 2009.
So, I'm currently on tour. I just want to put that out there.
And that's one of the reasons everyone's buying tickets for Shappy's tour, obviously. It's, you know, I go to a lot of gigs, so I see a lot of female comedians, but I've never had it spelt out in statistics like this, actually, how established women are now on the comedy circuit.
We mentioned Joan Rivers, obviously, even though she has passed away, she's still number 5 in the top-selling female comedian list.
She will never die.
I can't think zombie comedians is necessarily going to have a future, but it's a thought. You know, maybe we'll progress with that. Clearly, we've got Michael McIntyre, Peter Kay, Lee Evans, Mickey Flanagan, Jimmy Carr in terms of top-selling male comedians. You can't really draw a parallel between Sarah Millican, Miranda Hart, Dawn French, Pam Ann, and, of course, Joan Rivers, because, as I said, to me, from a mathematical point of view, and the survey is moot because it doesn't have Shappy Gossandy in there, at least the top two, but there we are. Other sort of areas which I thought were quite fascinating, in terms of taste. I mean, that's something which clearly comedy is a matter of taste, and the notion of actually putting something together now where we go down the line of the old Benny Hill type of humour would probably not exist at all, or even, dare I say it, Bernard Manning. But you know, we move into those sort of zones, and we still find that there's an interesting difference in terms of what men and women actually find humorous.
Yeah, well, also, I think men seem to think they've got a better sense of humour than women. I think there was something in the survey about men just men sort of understand humour better. Men like dark humour. Men like different kinds of humour. And I think women maybe sometimes don't have a sense of humour. So maybe there is sexism in comedy, but it's in the audiences rather than in the actual comedians on stage.
I mean, Shappy, from your own point of view, do you think there's a gender bias here, or also a cultural bias? Because I mean, you know, for many a year we have lots of correspondence over in Los Angeles, and it was sensed that America just didn't get British humour other than Benny Hill and possibly Python.
The sexism is interesting, because I know that growing up, a lot of the guys that I used to know, perhaps when we were less mature in our early 20s, was a woman having a sense of humour meant that they found their jokes funny. And the thing is, I think a lot of women in a social situation aren't given the breathing space to demonstrate their sense of humour. We live in a world where men are always the ones that are encouraged to take risks. That's why we've got more male leaders in big business and CEOs of companies, and women take less risks socially. They don't want to, you know, rock the boat as much. And I think we're sort of coming out of that now and recognising there is absolutely no such thing as one gender or another having a better sense of humour than another than the other one.
In terms of favourite humour, it would seem that the family is high on both scenarios. Politics pretty high with men, coming in at second place, with politics for women sort of fifth down the list. Topics, observational humour, presumably it's very much of its time. I mean, you know, you look at what's happening in terms of global events and various other factors, and perhaps it's a bit like satirists. You'll make a comment at the time because it's actually appropriate. If we were to actually look now and say, well, wasn't that Hone and Cruikshank image of George III hilarious? You might think, no, it's not going to work.
Yeah. It was cutting edge at the time, though. Obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they had to cut it out of the paper and the wood prints, but there we are. But is it culturally sort of tied into things and temporal as well?
I think tastes change. I think, as you say, things go in and out of fashion. And you were saying earlier that maybe we don't have so much non-sexist, non-racist humour. But some people worry that, you know, there are other types of humour. You know, some of the comedy about sex, some people think, you know, maybe in a few years' time, people, the pendulum will swing the other way, and people will think some of the jokes we make about sex now are not acceptable. You know, we think we're enlightened and we're being uninhibited, but maybe in a few years we'll look back and we'll say it was wrong, but the jokes we made now.
Concluding with a few moments in terms of being on the side of the performer and against the audience, although it's hard that I should say that, audience behaviour during comedy events. Now, I mean, all of these are on my list of things that kind of gets... As a member of an audience, I get irritated by whispering, eating, taking photos, checking the phone, taking selfies, which is another list.
Smoking bacon, I find really annoying.
In the health and safety issue, surely. Tweeting and leaving in the middle of the performance. I mean, from your own perspective, Shappy, do you deal with hecklers? I can't imagine anybody would dare to heckle your good self.
Weirdly, I don't get heckled all that often. Never have done.
You're too nice, you see. That's the key thing.
Am I nice? Yeah. I'm not sure. Oh. Discuss. I think that... comedy clubs go out of their way to discourage heckling now. Often there'll be a sign up saying no heckling, you know, no petting, no heckling. And
what about Statter and Waldorf, though? I mean, they were a couple of Muppets, but still.
Oh, well, they were the kings of heckling. No one's ever been able to come close to them. But also, you know, compares will say, you can say what you like to me, but give the acts respect. So the audience is sort of told not to heckle a lot more. And I think people are just a little bit more... accepting that it's not about them, it's about the whole room enjoying the comic.
And Bruce, from your own perspective as a critic, do you kind of take note of whether people are heckling, or whether it's an amusing thing, or whether it's just a case of people just boorish social behaviour, really?
Well, it varies. I do think there's a possibility of there is such a thing as creative heckling, but most heckling is irritating. And I think, yeah, in a way, I think if we look on comedy as an art form, you know, like music or painting, I think we shouldn't really have heckling, you know, because the people like Shappy work really hard to write a show and prepare a show. They're not making it up off the top of their head. Precisely. And they actually want to perform it and not be interrupted.
And also you get, as a performer, you get to a point where you don't allow room for heckling. Like if you have to, it's really difficult to pinpoint that moment where you become so comfortable in your own skin on stage that people just stop heckling you because you've shown no vulnerability in that way. You know, it's only normally when you let the ball drop and you look nervous that people heckle. This trick is to never ever let your fear show.
We were shocked on the programme last week when we went over to Phil Learness in Los Angeles to find that he hadn't heard of our guest that particular time, Ken Dodd. Amazing. So the campaign now to get Shappy Khorsandi international begins in earnest. Shappy, I want you at the LA Hollywood Bowl, and we're going to move everything to actually ensure that you get to that LA Hollywood Bowl, because I think the Americans need to have your ace brand of humour.
Well, as long as I'm allowed one wardrobe malfunction, I'm up for it.
Well, there we are. We've got two final questions to wrap up with your good selves, of course. Bruce Desso and Shappy Khorsandi, have you had a reasonably interesting, if not hilarious, telephonic contact with us on the show today?
Everyone's a critic. You're critiquing the interview.
It's been my best one yet.
I think so. And Shappy, we like to think of this more as a case of constructive feedback, you see. You know, it happens in education all the time. It's kind of like, get that feedback, get that whole sort of 24/7 thing. The next critical question, of course, is, can we look forward to hopefully featuring you both, either together or separately, in the not-too-distant future?
Bruce and I are doing a double act, and we shall be touring that early spring. The Bruce and Shappy show.
All or nothing, yeah.
Well, I think it's there. It's nailed on, clearly. It's the heart-to-heart of the 21st century. We did go on to actually consider who would actually be Freeway, who would be the butler and Max and so on, but I thought this is too much to actually fit into the programme. It's the Midweek Drive on Wednesday, October the 1st, Lincolnshire Day 2014. Does Lincolnshire Day mean anything to your good self as a citizen of the Isle of Man from New Zealand originally? Jessica? No. And Emma, I mean, is this one of those areas where you think, oh, how nice to have a Lincolnshire Day?
Well, I suppose it's nice, but I don't really see the point. I mean,
wrong answer, really, on the Midweek Drive coming from Siren FM and the heartland of the University of Lincoln. But I, I appreciate it.
Why can't we appreciate Lincoln every day?
Yes.
Exactly.
Good point.
Have a sort of Lincolnshire century.
Yeah.
Expand the whole thing, sort of put it out over the basis. In case you're wondering, it looks as though Rosemary is unable to be contacted. So there we are. I just thought I'd admit to that. We've given up. We could continue to sort of leave messages on our answer phone, but that could be deemed harassment. So we won't go there. Michelle Monroe will be connecting with us. I say that because that's also a pre-record scenario. And hopefully we'll be live to Peter Franklin from, of course, New York City. As it comes around to, let's see, in New York now, it's 12:38. Approaching sort of nearly 1 p.m. in the afternoon. See, we've kind of lived the time that they're about to go through. Spooky.